Welcome to a brand new episode of Tale Talk. This is Casey.
And this is Chris.
And 259.
Ooh.
Chugging right along. I love it.
That's love it. That is the 300.
That's it, buddy.
Someday.
So, we actually recorded not that long ago, but what have you been geeking out on in the meantime?
Oh, man. Bullet hells. So, Karate Survivor, you know, just came out the full version the other day. And it's much more polished and a little bit easier to progress than that demo was. And it's awesome. I've beaten maybe two of the bosses so far, opened up four boards, and just been really rocking that. That's a really cool game. I like that it differentiates itself from some of these other ones that are definitely Vampire Survivor clones. Not that they're bad or anything, but Karate Survivors is a dope game. And then I also picked up Ode to Castlevania for Vampire Survivors, which is cool. I played that board. But yeah. Then I had also picked up the Contra DLC a couple weeks ago, which I've actually unlocked quicker with characters. And also they have like that, it's like a different game mode where you play through levels. And so You play through these different Contra levels with the different awesome characters. Yeah. And you unlock it on a different side of the game completely.
All right. Yeah.
Well, you're still unlocking characters on the regular version. So it's really cool. And I'm hoping that Castlevania has the same setup. But yeah,
they always reinvent things, you know. It's awesome.
I guess it's like, because Contra has these boss battles, which are really cool. And I guess the Castlevania one has some cool boss battles from what I've seen in the videos and previews for that game.
Yeah, it's similar, you know, playing Karate Survivors, Hall of Torment, which was another one, but a little bit more Diablo-esque. What was the other one? Jutan Slayer, which comes out next week, I think. Or actually, maybe tomorrow.
I didn't know there was a date for it.
I don't know. You know what? That's right. We were looking at it. I think it was Q4. So anyway, lots of bullet hell. Steam did that. Steam did their, I don't know, some sale that they always end up doing. So, yeah, and it's been good. TV's been good. We're going to get into that in a second as well. As far as geeking out on some trailers that definitely geeked out on this week. So, but before we get to that, we did have a big passing in the Star Wars world and pop culture world, which was Greg Hildebrandt. Just a fantastic artist, definitely somebody who up there with like a Drew Struzan, and in different ways, you know, even better, a little bit more versatile, the Hildebrandts, you know, for flare cards, and definitely part of our shared growing up and shared geek tutelage, the Hildebrandts. So this was a tough one.
Yeah, for sure. I think just recently did a bunch of variant covers for Marvel.
Yeah.
Based on the old cards, which was cool to see. It's interesting because I think they've actually done some other variants on comics as of not too long ago. So I don't know if they're still doing work. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Greg and Tim, right? That was two of them.
Yeah.
Were they twins?
That I don't know.
Nope, they were born two different years.
But yeah, so just a moment of silence for the great Hildebrandt. And just amazing artist. Today, also fun fact, November 3rd is Godzilla Day. So we're going to throw you some Godzilla fun pop culture-y things. We have an Alien Day. Do we have a Superman Day? We have a Batman Day. We do, right?
There's a day of everything.
There's a day of everything. So let's get into it. So first things first, Marvel news. Blade was silently removed from the slate of movies. It's been plagued with issues. But at the same time, they also kind of sort of announced that we're going to be getting a Marvel Knights movie in its place. What do you think about all this?
I believe it when I see it. yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like they like, oh, well, it gets removed, and then there's no movement on that side of things. And then everybody's been begging for other approaches to that whole side of the universe. And with Agatha and Werewolf by Night being good, I don't see why it's taking so long for them just to be honest with themselves and be like, this is the approach we need to take. Like, Ghost Rider is an extremely popular character. Like, what is your plan? And just go off into these different sides of the Marvel universe.
Exactly. And, you know, Blade, hopefully they get it figured out. I think I would be happy if Wesley Snipes took it on. You know, we've been talking about it. Give it over to his daughter, whatever. Maybe that enthusiasm carried over from his appearance in Deadpool and Wolverine. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, if Marvel Knights are coming, I would be fine with that. I also believe it when I see it, like you said.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man 4, Tom Holland and Zendaya have read the script. They say it's in a good place. There's also a possible 2026 release date. I don't see how that's happening without there already being a director. You know, like, I guess they do have that director, right?
Yep. Yeah, they got that from Shang-Chi.
So, I don't know. I mean, this is another one of those, it took a little while, but what do you think?
I think that they started Fantastic Four filming.
You're right. You're like, right.
A movie that big is going to, I feel like Fantastic Four is going to be a bigger film than Spider-Man 4 if they keep it more street level. So, a lot of it, Superman didn't take that long to film. That seemingly is a big, big film, you know? So
seems huge. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I can see them sticking to that date. And if so, 2026 is going to be an insane year of comic
books. Insane, yeah. Oh. Yep. All right, so Disney, Marvel released a little sizzle reel for their upcoming TV slate. We got looks at Daredevil, Spider-Man something, Spider-Man coming back. you know, Wonder Man, which was really cool. And Ironheart, which looked okay. What did you think?
It's great. This is the way to do it. I actually forgot that Wonder Man was in production, and that scenes and clips from it were like, oh, it's real. So that was great. The Daredevil looks were really, really, really great, and I'm really looking forward to that. I don't want to see too much from it.
Yeah, that was all I needed.
Yeah, I just, it's in March, right? And so it's so close once the holidays get out of our way. So, and it's exciting because seeing them push more Disney Plus things and getting you excited about it after they've just done, you know, a couple of good things. You know, Agatha was good. We'll talk about that in a second. But it's just, I'm hoping that they can take the approach of spending less money on these shows, give us better content, and be able to renew things for second seasons because they didn't spend a crazy amount of money and the internet hated
right.
them. So
yeah,
it's interesting. And Ironheart, I mean, that looks fine. I'll watch it. I just want to know what's going on more with that side of the universe. Like, is it Iron War? Are they going to do these like Iron Wars? Are they going to just go full speed with Young Avengers? Like, what are you prepping these young heroes for?
Right. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? I think we talked about it last time. Like, what's going on with Vision and You know what I mean? Like, what is happening with that side? With all the sides. You know, it's just, we just don't know.
No, I mean, Vision Quest is going into production.
Right, Vision, but Ironheart, you would assume, would be part of this at the end of it. At the end of her season, it would, to me, make sense to go into Vision or whatever they do with, what's his name, Don Cheadle.
Maybe. Maybe. But Vision also has a lot to do with the Young Avengers.
I know.
So it's like...
But is she a Young Avenger? She's young Iron
Man. I would imagine so. Why not?
Right? Yeah, why? That's what I'm saying. Like, going into the Vision series, because that's Young Avengers. He's the new, I don't know, call him Tony.
But then you also would be like, how old do you want Kate Bishop to be by the time the show comes out? 30, the actress? 35? You know what I mean?
She is.
Right, exactly. So it's just like...
Yeah, I know.
What is your pacing? I know that the Kang Dynasty screwed up a lot of things, but I'm just really confused on, maybe this is the point where they're just like, we're not going to connect everything, you know, fun. We're not going to have things rely on each other so heavily. Just go tell good stories. So
yeah, we'll see. Yep. And then finally, Agatha, she had her season finale. I didn't watch it. Did you?
I sure did.
I watched
it last night. Two episodes dropped for it. Yeah, that show gets an 8 out of 10 from me. The finale, the last two episodes, really good. They did a really good job of tying the whole show together, making you like really realize the way they told the story. And you know, I remember going back and be like, you know, I didn't care that Agatha was being a show or that they were moving forward with something that, like spinning out of WandaVision, but I like this show more than WandaVision, honestly. And it really sets up some good points of storytelling moving forward from a bunch of different aspects, you know, without spoiling too much. It was great to see a show where, like I just said previously, it didn't rely on a lot of money as far as effects go. You could tell with the practical effects where they looked good, they worked, the storytelling was solid, and you know, it was a really good like return to form for Marvel. So
yeah, it's one that is high up on the list. I do really want to watch it, and I'm glad that it stuck the landing for you.
Where are you at with it?
Nowhere. I haven't started.
You didn't even start it?
I haven't started it.
Ooh. Where are you at with Penguin?
I went with Penguin. I'm on episode 5, so... Listen. Halloween, I take off. I take off the whole month. So seriously, Agatha would count.
Agatha is Halloween.
Agatha is Halloween, but I already had chosen Penguin at that point. Don't worry about it. So we're going to jump across the
pond. Don't worry about it.
We're jumping across. Lanterns, Garrett Dillahunt joins Lanterns. We don't know. He's tapped as a major recurring role. He worked with James Gunn wrote Dawn of the Dead reboot and Zack Snyder, you know, directed it. But in that sense, they've worked together before in the past. And you know, he's on Fear of the Walking Dead. This is a good actor. I have a feeling he's going to be playing Sinestro. It's my throwing it out there now.
Maybe. I feel like that'd be a really interesting move for that. Anyways, what I did not know was that Tom King was involved in this TV show.
I didn't know either.
Chris Mundy, Damon Lindelof, and Tom King.
Good. Finally.
It's quite the lineup.
Yeah, so. That's heavy hitters. So keep it going. This show keeps sounding awesome. Keep it going. All right. In a galaxy far, far away, we saw a trailer for Skeleton Crew. Did you watch this?
You didn't
watch it. Oh, you did. Oh, okay. You had to, right?
Yeah, I guess. I was bored, and I checked out trailers that I had been like. I always have like this safe search on YouTube for trailers, and it was there.
Yeah.
And so I watched it, and it was awesome. It's just always weird to me when they use like actual music for the for Star Wars. I don't hate
it. But it was translated into Arabesh.
Right, which is just like wild to me.
I loved it.
It was a cool trailer. Without showing too much, it definitely is Goonies in space. Without a doubt, that trailer was all Goonies. I did, however, see this morning on Instagram, somebody did a little eagle eye screenshot, and they saw the Katooni, which is Hondo's ship. So on Galaxy's Edge, they feature Hondo's ship.
Yeah.
And somebody went into the trailer like they usually do. And we've seen this before where, like in Rise of Skywalker, they put different ships in there, and it was like a question of what it was, or if it was, or the Mando ship, or what, you know what I mean? Those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But it's there. It's there. And I mean, there's shows about pirates. And I think it would be a real disservice to the fandom if Hondo didn't show up, maybe even in just the season finale, and get people excited for another season of it or something like that, if it's not a standalone show.
Yeah, Hondo is a fan favorite. I don't know how long that race lives for, because he's been kicking around for a long time.
Forever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, they could be. So, hey, trailer looked awesome. Again, well-made trailer is a well-made trailer, but it was a well-made trailer.
I mean, he's in the new Star Wars video game, Outlaws. So he's still existing towards Jedi. And I mean, when does this show take place in the New Republic? Right? Like, right after the fall of the Empire? Like, what is
7 years?
If it's
following Mando, if this somehow ties to that 7 years.
I hope it doesn't just tie into Mando.
In the sense, like, more as in it's in that time frame of 7 years out. That's all I mean. Not like they're going to see Mando pop up. Maybe, because they like to make this world smaller, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in a second. But anyway, for right now, I'm excited, and I hope to stay.
Yeah.
All right, so this is one of those things that popped up at Comic-Con last week, which is Charles Soule is on a new Star Wars comic called Legacy of Vader. This is actually going to take place in between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. My question is, does anyone give a shit?
Not really.
Do you care about Kylo Ren anymore right now?
Not really. I want to see, if I'm going to see Kylo Ren stuff, just give it to us during the New Republic when he's younger and training. And that's the only time period I care about at this point with Kylo Ren or Ben Skywalker, or whatever. Ben Solo, or whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, honestly, when I saw the announcement, I kind of gave a, do you really need to go here? You know, like the one Kylo Ren comic that we got was kind of crap. There were some cool things in it, but overall it was kind of crappy. Like his, you know, turn away from Luke. It just was kind of meh. I don't care about this comic either. I think it's a stupid time period to be exploring. Nobody wants to go there right now, I don't think. I don't know. I think once the Rey movie comes back, sure, go back and explore all that shit again. But not right now.
If that movie comes back.
Writers
keep jumping ship.
Right, of course.
Because nobody wants to deal with that time period. I mean, it's just... Yeah.
All right.
It's too bad, honestly. Yep. That's the sad part.
It is. All right, so let's move over to Crowd Sorcery. We have Star Trek Murder Mystery and Escape Room games. We'll go into Picard as well as Strange New Worlds. And this is on Kickstarter. It's already raised $85,000. And at the time of this recording, there's 19 days to go. This is great. Again, Star Trek branching out, doing more weird stuff. This seems like a cool idea. What do you think?
Yeah, Beetle and Grimms is a decent company, you know, that's been doing some cool games. Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of stuff where board games and tabletop have come back, and if Star Trek can tap into that, that's great, especially with the shows being as popular as they are.
Yeah, that's just it. So, you know, as usual, we leave the links in for those, so we will do that. And then we also have Sea of Legends. This is an open world deck building RPG. This would stood out to me is it's a first game. So it's already raised 96 grand of their 100,000 goal. So it will probably make it. It's just people who had worked on things like BattleTech, MechWarrior, Shadowrun, Crimson Skies. So a lot of different creators who've done board games and video games have, you know, put their hands on this. I think it's a cool concept. I think it's a unique blend, and I would try it. I don't know if I tried Kickstarter, but you backed it?
Okay, I backed it.
I'll try it with you.
Pirates. Pirates and Shadowrun Pirates? Sure. Why not?
Yeah, I know. You
drive your ship around and matey. It's good. It's good. $25. I'll take it.
Oh, okay. Aye, Captain. Chris, what time is it?
We haven't said this in so long. Oh, it's time for the pursuit of plastic.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh
that's
my gosh. It.
So in addition to the giant X-Men Lego X-Mansion set that came out and I stupidly didn't get, so I'm missing that, Charles Xavier Cerebro.
Oh, yeah. That kind of stuff, though, is like, it was like that Mimic box.
Yes.
That came back. So.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Look for
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I
look for it.
Was.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So, anyway, this is not about that. What it's about is this Captain America
sure is.
Lego figures. I don't know. It's all Marvel, right? It's all connected.
That's right.
Some cool sets. You know, Cap versus Red Hulk. Spoiler alert, apparently.
not know? Really.
It's really a lot of Cap and Red Hulk stuff. So that's coming out. I don't know. I don't usually buy movie franchise figures personally. What are your thoughts on this?
I'll tell you what I did buy. I went ahead and pre-ordered the Marvel Legends that just went up, the Red Hulk one, and that Sam Wilson one, because that Sam Wilson one is deluxe figure is freaking crazy looking.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's awesome. So these I don't buy really the Lego ones anymore.
Yeah, that's all.
I used to. But it's just, you know, we're going to get bombarded with all of this stuff, and it's cool. I'm really looking forward to this movie. So.
Yeah, yeah. This is going to be a great start of the next year movie comic book lineup. So NECA is continuing their Gremlins everything. We got a 40th anniversary Evolution of Gremlins box set. This is actually kind of cool for people like me who hasn't gone all in on Gremlins, and you get some different characters, you know, including Gizmo and a full Gremlin. So, I don't know. I think it's a cool set. It's actually not super expensive either, which is nice. So, yeah.
Yeah, I pre-ordered this and then I canceled it the next day because I was just like, do I need it? And I kind of want it.
It's a want.
It is. It's like when you get Stripe, both versions, and that Gizmo, and they're all a bunch of cool stuff with it. You know, if I see it, I might get it. Because I haven't, like you said, I haven't bought any Gremlins stuff either, and I thought this would be a neat way to do it. We'll see. Very, very cool. It's only on Big Bad Toy Store, too, strangely.
Right. So we'll leave the links in there for that. And then also, finally, McFarlane Toys, always killing it. We've got Swamp Thing, Planet Ran. This is a really cool interpretation of this character. I thought that this was a great design figure. We also got the Batmobile from Batman and Robin, which is something I do not need, personally.
No, but they've been putting out all these cool Batmobiles, and it's like, if you're collecting them, like, I still want that White Knight one. That White Knight one is awesome, but I don't like the designs from Forever or Batman and Robin. Just too weird to me.
Comic-y. Or
yeah,
it's funny to say.
funny to say it, but it's not like the Burton one, which was just such a cool one,
right?
But then I'll mention these page punchers as well.
Yeah, please.
We got Shazam. We have Superman 78 from the comics with comic shading. They just actually did the Christopher Reeve figure not too long ago from
beautiful figure.
Yeah, from 78, and now they're doing this one with comic shading. Then also you can get a Red Hood from the new Batman Adventures as well. So I thought they were going to be doing like a Superman 78 series, because I was like, oh, I want a Gene Hackman Lex Luthor figure when we get that thing. So, but we're not.
Yet.
Right.
Yet. And then, Chris, can you tell us, you lead us through Godzilla Day. This is your day.
For sure. For sure. Godzilla Day starts off with Super 7 dropping a bunch of figures, including a new version of our Minus One Ultimates. This one's the charging one.
Actually,
it's cool. I wish, wish I had this one. But I like the one I have as well. So I'm not.
I like the one I have as well, but this is cool.
Yeah, very cool. They're also releasing a Space Godzilla Ultimates based on the old movie poster, so you can get like these cool colors. Another Shogun Godzilla, and then some cool reaction figures, including the one where he, rides on his tail, which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
One of the best moves ever from a Godzilla movie. Also, and I didn't realize which of these I had actually pre-ordered it, so I canceled and bought this one. Haya is putting out the Godzilla X Kong with Beast Glove, and that's the one I wanted.
Yeah,
I watched that movie again.
I still haven't watched this.
The movie?
Yeah.
Oh man, I watched it for the third time the other day.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, Chris thinks it's like, he goes, if I had to pick the most fun movies this year, he goes, it's that and Wolverine. Yeah. He goes, those two. I go, you put it up there with Wolverine. He's like, yeah, is that good?
I do.
Yeah,
too.
I need to watch it.
And I didn't think I was gonna like it at first as much as I. And I like it more than some of the other ones, even. And it's a lot of fun. Dan Stevens is awesome in that movie.
Love Dan Stevens.
Yeah, and the Beast Glove whole thing is really cool. So yeah, watch that movie. It's freaking.
I will. Awesome. All right.
SH Monster Arts is dropping in 1972 in Garrus. Garrus was nice. The second, or actually the first monster he ever fought from the second movie. So this one comes straight out of Godzilla versus Gigan, though.
That version.
Godzilla 1954 soundtrack has been released on vinyl. Big Bad Toy Store has the black and white exclusive. So if you're a vinyl collector, check that one out. And then Godzilla Shop, the Godzilla.com store, has a ton of stuff. This includes all of the, I put a link for the Santa Cruz stuff directly to Santa Cruz site, but it includes that as well, which actually the hat is on here, which is sold out on the website. So I might actually check out the stuff here. There are some other exclusives on the Santa Cruz store that aren't on here, so check those out. But here we have a ton of figures. Watches, giant mouse pads that are way overpriced, keyboards that are way overpriced, and more. So there's a ton of stuff, even from Mondo and more on here. So a lot of cool swag if you're a Godzilla fan celebrating the 70th birthday of the King of Monsters.
Damn right. All hail the King.
That's right.
All right, so that is it for the first half of our show. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
DFAT Comics is the publishing branch of DontForgetATowel.com, the only place to travel geekly. Focusing on creator-owned and independent titles like Hollowed, Pursuit of Plastic, and Fairy, and many more. DFAT Comics will be a mix of genres appealing to every kind of reader. Join the new source of comic book entertainment with DFAT Comics.
There the bugger is. She's a big one, ain't she? Oi, Over 20 points of articulation, great sculpting, and look at the paint job on her. We've been looking all over for this one. Let's get them in our sights and end this hunt now.
All right. All right.
Steady. Steady now.
Got him!
It's the pursuit of plastic.
Listen to the podcast from the creators of DontForgetATowel.com. Geek out about toy news, hunting, and histories on your favorite collectibles.
From the far reaches of the galaxy to an internet location near you, we're DontForgetATowel.com, your daily source for geeky pop culture news, reviews, interviews, and so much more. So as you're hitchhiking your way through the universe, don't forget to travel safe, and don't forget a towel.
We are back after those luscious commercials, and we're going to jump into some comic book book news. First up, continuing the Godzilla train from before the commercial break, Mothra is back in a new IDW series, which is cool. So Mothra Gemini coming out March 5th from Sophie Campbell and Matt Frank on art. This is cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love Mothra, and I love when they create new versions of the monsters, which this is going to be. With the twins, all of the good Mothra elements. So I will check this out, at least in TPB.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. Absolutely. In IDW, they do a great job with that stuff, so it's good. All right, so what's going on with this one? There's a new manga story coming out for Young Champion.
Yeah, this is just announced for Godzilla Day as well. Just saying that Young Champion will be publishing a new Godzilla manga 2025. No other deets on it. So that's it. That's the news.
Okay. That's not bad news.
No.
Something's coming. That's good.
That's it. Godzilla's coming.
That's it. This is a cool little thing here. Bug Wars coming from Jason Aaron. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meets Game of Thrones. Sure. You know, this is one of those weird image things that they let creators do. And it sounds like a pretty sweet concept. So I'm into it.
Yeah, the main character's name is Slade Slaymaker, an average kid from Alabama who finds himself lost in a vicious world beyond his imagining. A world of marauding ant armies, spellcasting spider witches, and beetle-riding barbarians. Yeah. When does this come out? Because I need to
this
order it.
February, I think. February 12th.
In.
So, on pre-order now.
Muhammad Asrar? Is that? I'm not sure you see the artist's name, but that's who's doing it. Doing yeah, this cool art.
Looks awesome. Looks bloody. Looks good.
Yeah.
Eddie Munson and from Stranger Things and Dungeons and Dragons, you know, they have a lot of crossovers, but we're getting The Rise of Hellfire. This looks pretty cool. Jody Hauser, who had previously worked on the Stranger Things and Dungeons and Dragons limited series, is going to be coming back alongside co-writer Eric Campbell. And we're going to see Diego Galinda, Diana Sosa, and Nate Picos on art telling these different stories as kind of like a heartfelt send-off for Eddie.
Spoiler, just joking. Just joking.
Yeah, right. So I think this is pretty cool. Like, cool idea. A little mini-series should be fun.
You know, it's funny, just real quick on that side of things, the Stranger side of things. I just got the second He-Man Stranger Things collaboration that they did for the action figures. And it's funny because Mattel makes it. And so they're able to do some D&D stuff as long as Stranger Things related. I'm thinking to myself, it's like, this is the only way they can get it from Hasbro is by making it Stranger Things. But it's so cool because it's like He-Man versus Vecna or Skeletor versus
they're
the Demogorgon.
Cool.
And it's neat because it's like one of the weapons is like a 20-sided die staff. So I'd like to see, I'd like that you can get like collectibles outside of just Hasbro stuff. It's kind of neat.
So, yeah, I yeah, no. It was good. It's all relevant. every tangent is relevant. And then finally, book news. This is a cool one here. So,
mm-hmm.
We're getting two kind of behind the scenes books that deep dive into Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. They're two volumes, tons of pictures, interviews with people. So Andreas Johansson did both of these. We're fans of one of those movies at least, but I would absolutely read about how LA even got made because it's ridiculous. But yeah, this is cool. You know, John Carpenter fans like we are, this is a really cool kind of Christmas gift list item
for the coffee tables.
For the coffee tables. Yeah.
Yeah. I want that New York one. Like you said, I mean, New York, LA is all right. It's watchable.
It's shit. I'm sorry.
It's watchable. It's watchable. Yeah. It's a 90s. It's definitely a 90s shit movie. Like that era.
Yeah.
It's nothing like the first one at all. So it's not a, there's no comparison, but like you said,
yeah,
this would be a cool little duo to have.
That's it. All right, so jumping over to TV news, Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica and numerous other geeky things has joined God of War as the showrunner. I don't know anyone other that I'd want right now. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. This is great news.
Yeah, the news that the showrunner had departed was worrisome at first. I was like, all right, this is going to happen
now. Right.
Nobody's going to take this on. And then all of a sudden when they announced more on it, I was like, what? So yeah. that totally flipped the switch. You know, it's Moore has done DS9, For All Mankind. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Like that's his most recent work. That's so good. You know? So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to a God of War show as far as not trying to emulate the video game. Like, it'll be cool to see like the video game stuff, but how do you tell more of a story than just the game itself? You know,
I mean, the game tells quite a story.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, we know that story. So it's, it usually will change things up. Right.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, Last of Us style, you know,
mm-hmm. And it's true too. It's true too.
All right, so jumping over to movie news, Predator Badlands is due out next November, which, great. Can't wait to see it. We also have maybe a rumor of an animated anthology. So this would be the Predator going to different time periods, like feudal Japan, I think, or China.
Japan.
Japan, right. Maybe Greek and Roman times, etc. So whatever. More Predator. That's all. I don't care.
Well, the fact that it's already in the works, it's not even a rumor, I don't even think, anymore. It's just, as far as what it covers, is more of what we're waiting to see. But the fact that that project is out there is amazing, especially that it's animated. Because, I mean, we always say it's so easy to make animated stuff for the most part, and you can just pump it out. And if this is popular, where's our animated alien stuff? Where's our, you know, there's a lot of stuff that if Disney really taps into this the right way, what if they did like the Marvel comic ones with Wolverine or Black Panther and Predator, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, give us some adult animation even. But yeah, Badlands is, I can't wait for that. That actually just took the Blade spot for that year, which is appropriate. So.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be hunting something. That's it.
That's usually how those go. And I can't wait.
Maybe it's Blade versus Predator instead. That's
I mean,
vampire predators.
It's totally fine, too. All right. So, Alien news. Romulus did really well over at Fox Studios / Disney. So, we've got Fede Alvarez is close to signing on to helm the sequel for that. Great news.
Great.
Not only that, maybe Ridley Scott is also doing another Alien something, which is, what do you think of this?
Well, I wasn't sure what to think of it at first, if it's just people getting the rumors mixed in together, but then I started to read into it more, and people are pretty convinced that it is a separate project. Now, when we last left our friend David in Alien Covenant, that was quite the cliffhanger. And as unpopular as those movies were, I like Prometheus. Covenant is okay. I watched it again not recently. It was okay. I would like to see a close out of that. I would like to see another David story. I like Michael Fassbender. I like that character. And I really think that Ridley Scott is bold enough to go back and try again, because he's kind of narcissist himself. I could see him not wanting to give up on that and be like, I've got to finish my story. So that's what I could see happening is what happened to the Covenant and David and
those people. Right. I think you're right. That's probably how he'll try to wrap it up. Cause I guess kind of like a trilogy, maybe. Mm-hmm. Though, mm-hmm. Do you throw Alien in there? I don't know. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Jumping over, we've got John Wick. We're supposed to be getting an animated prequel. Anime prequel. Fine. Like, I will be there. I will watch whatever you guys decide to do.
Yeah. I mean, anime is a great way to do it. I mean, I feel like I'm watching an anime when I watch John Wick anyway. So
yeah, at least a video game. Jeez.
Right. So yeah, that's exciting. I mean, what are we're gonna get his Baba Yaga days, you know, like what is
Baba Yaga.
when he was the hitman. So
that's right.
But I'd like to see more from that world. Sure, bring it on.
That's it. Absolutely. We're getting more apes. We don't know what the title of the film is, but set for 2027. See, like, this to me seems like a realistic timeline, you know, all the animation it takes to make apes. But I'm ready.
Well, that's it. That's it, right? I mean, it's what movies rely heavy on CGI and that kind of stuff that takes much longer in post. I don't know. You know, if Marvel gets smart and does less CGI and more practical, sure, we could see Spider-Man 26. But yeah, I mean, you're right. 2027 is still a long time away, though. So.
It is. But those movies are worth the wait.
Yes,
they are so good. Did you see this preview? This is Anthony Mackie's new movie, Elevation.
I did.
Okay.
Are you going to call it Evolution? Because that's also,
I almost did.
It's also what mix. It kind of looks like.
Yeah, like, I feel like it could go either way. It could be really fun. It could be really lame, but I was intrigued. Anytime they do a monster mash,
yeah.
mashup of genres, it seemed pretty cool. Just the fact that it's getting made.
Yeah, I don't know why this wasn't on our last episode. I did watch this trailer a couple weeks ago. We must have just either taken it off or whatever. But yeah, this was good. I liked it. And I like Anthony Mackie, and this seems like a neat story of kind of like another post-apocalyptic type thing. So,
yeah, bring it on. Jim Mickle is boarding the Gundam movie. So he's the Sweet Tooth showrunner over there on Netflix. Yeah, I've never been a Gundam fan, so for me, I'm not excited by this, but like, what do you I mean, it's co-developed by Legendary, who I Pacific Rim, etc., and Bandai Namco. So you know, what do you think about this?
I don't know what to think about it. It's interesting that it's taken this long to make a live action Gundam. And we're talking decades of animated series. I would say your 83 animated series,
right?
Movies. That's a lot. And this this fandom is huge. I mean, they built a life-size Gundam in Japan. There's a lot of love for the Gundam series. So I will watch it, of course. I forget what time period I watched Gundam when it was on Adult Swim or whatever it was. And I liked that show a lot. I just haven't watched
2000s maybe.
Right? It was exactly. I knew there was a new one that dropped on Netflix. I've not watched that. And the old ones are just, they're kind of sleepy to me. So I don't know. We'll see because, you know, we got like live action Voltron coming and live action Gundam. And so is there a market for all of this? Probably, but we'll see. We'll see how good it is.
There you go. We'll try it out. And then we've gotten a new Toho Godzilla movie has been greenlit. This is a sequel to Minus One. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the best Godzilla movies ever made.
Yeah, no, for sure. A good time to announce it was this weekend, within the last week. So now it's like, what's this about? We got, you know, there's a lot of hints at what's coming next, as usual, with G-cells and stuff like that. Do we get another kaiju? Mm-hmm. What does that look like in the Minus One world, which, you know, treated everything so realistically and going back to basics, you know, with him being more of a natural disaster than anything. So how do you avoid falling into, you know, the goofiness of the Showa era, you know, not going too far into what the MonsterVerse is doing? How do you keep it unique like you did with this one, kind of just resetting the and raising the bar for Godzilla films? So I'm excited. I just would like to find out more and, you know, and see what's coming next.
That's it, you know, but we'll be there probably day one. Sure. Regardless of what they do, cannot wait. And then finally, in movie news, Paul W.S. Anderson returns to video game, as always. This time he's heading House of the Dead, that arcade shooter. I don't care until you told me it's a Sega is kind of backed behind it. And to me, I think that's kind of exciting because they've had such a good run with Sonic lately and you know what they did there. So I think we're in a different time period now where video game movies are finally getting the love that they deserve. So we'll see.
Sure. Just let me know when they make Crazy Taxi.
Oh my gosh. I know. You're right. You're absolutely right. All right. Finally, we're going to go to gaming news. You already made mention of this, but Vampire Survivors added their Ode to Castlevania DLC that came out on Halloween, but honestly it's worth just watching the trailer too, which I think we'll keep in here because it's really fun.
It is. The cool thing about this is that, at least as usual, you get, when you get into the game, you get the board. Yeah. And so you can play that Castlevania board with the music and the monsters and a lot of the cool ode stuff that they did for it. There are a crap load of characters. I mean, it's like, it says 53 new characters.
Yeah.
That's insane, man.
I know.
40 new weapons, special weapon selector, a monstrously large new stage, 30 music tracks. This is an impressive DLC. When you put out something like this for an already popular game and you're keeping the pricing for this stuff well under $5. And I think I've put at least 8 hours in the last couple of days into this game just to try to get to this point. Right now, I'm hooked on the Contra thing, like I said. So, and I've even gotten to the part where I unlock Castlevania guys. So, very cool. I like that Konami is teaming up with the Vampire Survivors people. And I hope we get more of this kind of stuff for this game because it's just such a good passer of time. easy sit down to play. Not much commitment, you know. So I've had a really good time with it, and I can't wait to play more.
It's one of the best things about these games is I actually have accumulative a lot of hours spent in little chunks. You know what I mean? So it's a really smart way to do it. And then finally, in gaming news, this is to Magic. They added a ton of new sets to look forward to in the format, as well as changes in the format, because, you know, we know if you've been following Magic at all, the Commander format has changed or will be changing. So there's a lot of things to go over, but I'll just talk about the ones that highlight specifically to us, which is Final Fantasy and Marvel and Spider-Man. And, you know, what are your, you know, what are your thoughts? We kind of touched on it last episode a bit, but.
Yeah, I'm still not sure if I'm even going to buy those secret lair drops tomorrow. I don't know how I feel about this Marvel drop. And I still, as much as I've loved Magic in the last year that I've gotten into it, I'm still just not enamored over this Marvel tie-in. And it's like, when I see things like Aether Drift, which is the is going to be like the vehicle, like the Mad Max tie-in and stuff like that, and amping up the vehicle side of things, or Edge of Eternities, which is the space opera, Star Wars-esque set. And this other Dragonstorm, like, those kind of things get me more excited. Now, Final Fantasy, to me, it fits into the Magic the Gathering theme. And I love Final Fantasy, and I will, this will be the set that I definitely spend the most money on, I think, because I love the artwork and I love the characters. And there's just so much in that preview alone just got me really excited when they did the announcement. So that, I think, is my big buy-in. I'm just really surprised, like, as much as the Marvel thing that they've announced, you know, they dropped these secret lairs coming sooner than I thought they would. I didn't think they would be out now. And then to have the set be Spider-Man for 2025, it just is like, is weird to me. So now you're going very character specific versus what? Like, I was expecting a much bigger Marvel overall arcing thing, which kind of pulls me out of it, because I was more excited for characters like Doom and Thor and other ones for this kind of set more than I was superhero stuff. Right. And as much as I want that Captain America Commander card, like, I don't know what, I don't know really how I feel about it, but I feel like it's more negative than anything. As far as this drop is, you know, so I really got to see how I feel in the morning when this comes about. And really the only two I want out of it are the Cap and the Wolverine ones. So I don't know. I mean, we talked about this last time. It's like, what, it's why are they putting so much other stuff in here besides to make money? I don't know.
That's it. You're owned by Hasbro. You're there to make money.
Exactly. And I get that too. I talked to my friend the other day because I had read something about how combat's changing as well, and how they're going to make it more character-centric or creature-centric versus, and then changing how, like, the block structure works. So they're making a lot of changes, starting with Foundations, which is dropping soon. And so, again, you know, like, as the game evolves, how does that affect the cards that we bought? You know, how does that, moving forward, does that make things like, this is my frustration with games like this that change rapidly, and they're trying to change it for new players, right? And they're trying to get people more attracted to it. So it's questionable, like, the changes they make until we actually get into it. We learn the game, and all of a sudden we have to learn how it works a different way again. So I don't know. It's just, as somebody who's played these kind of games, has been burned on one, I'm a little worried about it, spending a ton of more money on it.
And I hear that entirely. I think that's there's a delicate balance between wanting to accept the new format and try things, like Final, or not Final Fantasy, but Dungeons and Dragons being a good example of it. You know, the new iteration came out. There are new things. I don't know anyone who has bought them or adapted to them yet because 5e is perfectly fine in the moment. So I have a feeling it depends on how you play and who you're playing with. I think some people will go new rules or old rules. You know what I mean? Like, is this a level deck two deck or is this level four deck? And, you know, we're only playing level twos. Like, we will adapt. We are adaptable as gamers. But I think it's just a matter of, like all games, you make them how you want to play them. And that's it.
Yeah, for sure. And the D&D thing, at least they were like, well, this is, we're not making all new books and changing the game. You can still play 5e.
Thank God.
You know, at least, right. Exactly. And if you want to put this new stuff in, then you can if you want. Like, we made it easier, whatever. I also like how, at least, like, I play so casually for Magic where it's like the rules and stuff don't affect me as much. What's appropriate for tournament play or what's right. legal or whatever, you know, that doesn't matter to me and the group that I run at school or when we play as much. But you know, it is what it is. So we'll see where we're at after 2025 drops.
That's it. Stay tuned. But in the meantime, Chris, where can you find us?
We are all over the interwebs at a little website called don'tforgetitala.com and dfatentertainment.com on the socials as dfatent.
Awesome. And this is Casey saying, go read some comics.
And this is Chris saying, don't forget to tell.